For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Good afternoon. Welcome in. This is the WEEI Afternoon Show. We still haven't thought of a better name yet. I'm Christian Arcan. That's Andy Hart. Nice to have you with us here today. Nice to be back after the long weekend, although we did work yesterday, but for a lot of you, probably, this is your first day back, your first commute back, school starting back up again, everybody getting back into the swing of things. I consider this the start of the new sports year this week.
Oh,
Thursday night, you know, Wednesday night will be New Year's Eve into Thursday, which is New Year's Day as the NFL season kicks off in week one. The Patriots getting ready for their first game this week against the Cincinnati Bengals. That's on Sunday. We also have the BC Eagles, who rang in their season with a big win last night over the spiraling Florida State Seminoles. And speaking of spiraling, we'll get to the Boston Red Sox as well. But this is a Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. We have a lot to get to as far as all that's concerned. We will be speaking with your starting quarterback, Jacoby Brissett. That's coming your way at 3 o'clock. Jonathan Jones, starting DB, will be joining the show at 4 o'clock. And we will have our predictions for the NFL season, which we started yesterday. Those will continue later on in the 5 o'clock hour. But first, we have to start with the big topic, of course, of the last, I don't know, forever, it seems like, basically, since the kid got drafted. And that is Drake May's status, Jacoby Brissett being the starter, May being the backup. That was confirmed this morning. It was also somewhat confirmed yesterday, Gerard Mayo doubling down on that. Drake May will be the backup if something happens to Jacoby Brissett, but that's what it's going to take. Otherwise, Brissett is your starter, as we all know, and May as the backup is going to be something that we may or may not see. I mean, we may see him get in the games because of the game not going well for Brissett. We may see it due to injury of some kind, knock on wood, of course. Don't want to see anybody get hurt, but that's the way that Drake May is going to get into a game, at this point anyway, according to the head coach.
Since you said this is the new year
Yes.
in sports, I like the Gerard Mayo in the new year. I thought the Gerard Mayo in the new year handled himself quite well this morning.
Solid interview this morning.
There was not one thing that I was like, oh, Gerard, oh, we're going to have to talk about that. Oh, he'll be correcting that in a couple days. I thought if Gerard Mayo had spoken previously from January through now the way he did this morning, we would have had a lot less to talk about along the way. All the ups and downs and the corrections and philosophies and then the repackaging of philosophies and what he believes in, that was all gone this morning. I thought he was definitive. I thought he spoke strongly about a number of things, not just the backup quarterback thing, but he talked about the plan in a more definitive way, mm-hmm. almost screw y'all if you don't like it. It's our plan and we're sticking to our plan. I thought Tom Curran last week said, you know, something to the effect of the messaging. You know, you get to fix the messaging or get better messaging. Today's messaging was 100%. And it's probably what you're looking for, right? It is Tuesday of game week. So
yep.
you don't really want, oh, now Gerard has to clean up a mess on Wednesday. And we got to ask the players about it in open locker room, big media day at Gillette Stadium. So maybe, just maybe, Gerard is rounding into regular season form as the head coach.
Could be. I think I agree with you to an extent, but I think that if Mayo had come out and said, listen, we have a plan, that plan is Jacoby Brissett, and didn't say anything at all about a QB competition, we'd have plenty still to talk about. Like, what the hell? You're not going to let him compete for it? You're not going to let your third overall pick even compete for the starting job? That's really how you want to start
this
all
out? But I don't know that he would have said that, because I actually thought today he did a good job. He said, what do you call it, healthy stress?
Right.
Looking over his shoulder, and that's for everybody at every position. He got Belichickian. He got a little bit sort of universal at times in his answers. Had he done all those things, he could have said it's a competition. Just like it's a competition at every position on the field. Just like every player has to prove himself to earn a starting job, to earn a role with this football. If he had said those things, the Belichickian things, which he mm-hmm. apparently learned, you know, it was a big feature in The Athletic
yep.
this week about sort of what he learned and some quotes about Bill and different things. Had he stuck to those talking points, I disagree. I think we would have had
I'm
going
to do the best I can to help our football team. That's my job.
And he didn't do great at that late in the tenure.
We wouldn't have been talking about how the coach kept flip-flopping, obviously.
Right.
That wouldn't be part of it. But the coach being so steadfast on starting Jacoby Brissett would have opened
a lot of
dynamo.
He wouldn't have said that
until
later. Just we have a plan.
Right.
And him beating us over the head and his confidence in the plan may have forced us to acknowledge the veracity of the plan, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think everybody's like, was there a plan? Is there a plan? What are you talking about? Who's playing? It started in week one, right?
Yep.
With everybody was mad that Drake May didn't play more, including me. I'm
week
still mad about
season,
that.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm still mad about that. I still think you screwed that up. And I still think that's going to be similar to now. I think I'm going to look back on the early part of the season and say, you should have just played the guy. Wasted opportunities. You wasted everybody's time. But they have a plan. They're sticking to it.
It would have been nice for the reps, but I think now we know it wouldn't have made a difference in terms of whether he was going to play in the actual week one or not. I don't think that if he had played more in week one of the preseason, I just feel like...
What if he went 8 of 9 passing with 8 touchdowns?
Did he not outplay Brissett in weeks 2 and 3?
Yeah,
I mean,
he could have
think...
done it even more against the backups of the worst team in football.
I suppose. And
he could have built up a better cachet of stats and impressive highlights.
I don't think the cachet mattered. I don't think it did. I think they were going to go with Brissett regardless.
Hey, Gerard did a good job today, but yesterday he told me it came down to the last couple days.
Well,
so if it came down to the last couple days and he had a great day against the Panthers, it sure as heck should have mattered.
Coach Mayo says a lot of things, you know. I mean, you got
to love Coach Mayo.
It's a day-to-day thing. You got to sort of
and
keep
cash.
Up with it.
Yeah. Ready to burn some cash.
The other thing that jumped out at me in the we're never happy mode.
Mm-hmm.
So at one point, we had a defensive coordinator who was dubbed an offensive mind, right? And we bitched about it appropriately.
We certainly did.
Now we have a defensive coordinator, kind of. He wasn't really the coordinator ever, but a defensive coach who is telling us, I know what I don't know, so I'm going to stay out of the way offensively. And we bitch about it. So we bitch about it when the defensive guy gets involved in offense, and we bitch about it when the defensive guy avoids getting involved in offense. Feels like that's an us issue.
Okay.
We're always bitching.
If he was named the offensive coordinator as the head coach, it's different. Obviously, you can't compare those two things.
No, I don't think suddenly because you become head coach, you suddenly know more about offense. You have a certain track record and experience level and comfort level.
Right.
Right?
Sure.
So Gerard Mayo
isn't to run the offense.
No, but my point is, he didn't, because on January 15th or whatever the hell date it was,
mm-hmm.
Robert Kraft said, you're the head coach. Did that give him more information about offensive players and plays and schemes and plans? No.
No, I don't think so.
He's leaning on his experts. Although, recently, he stopped leaning on them and said, it's all me. It's me.
He said that
Damn
this
it,
morning.
It's always me.
He said that this morning, as a matter of fact, after the longest question in the history of broadcasting from our own Jermaine Wiggins. Can we include the
Fitzy
question?
Fitzy might want to challenge that.
Well, okay.
Fitzy's had
so
some in his
the two
day.
Of them, yeah, the two of them are basically like, they're basically like Foreman and Ali when it comes to these things.
Yeah.
But here is Wiggy's very, very long question, and Gerard Mayo saying that this was his call and that he has final say.
Gerard, one of the things that you always talk about is the collaborative effort of coming together with everybody when it's about making decisions. I get that, but there comes a point in time when you guys are going to disagree on personnel, who should be starting, those type of things.
26.
I guess my biggest question where I want to know kind of like that final decision-making when it comes to starting and depth chart is that your decision? Because my opinion is, just from an outsider, is I feel like maybe that might be something that Elliot Wolf might have more say so in, which I don't agree with. Who has final say when it comes to depth chart decisions and who should be starting at positions when we talk about like the quarterback, if you guys are on a different page?
Okay, hold on. Just before you get to the answer, that was a 55-second question. I did the math. That was a 55-second question by Wiggy. I don't know if it's the longest he's ever had, but it's got to be up there. Anyway, well done, sir. What did Mayo say?
Look, as the head coach, I have the final say with all of that stuff. I do value the opinions of others, and you know, Elliot's opinion is definitely valued, but as the head coach, you know, I have the final say. From the time we signed Jacoby and drafted Drake, we've had a plan on how to best develop Drake, and we're going to stick to that no matter what happens, no matter, you know, what's being said on the outside. Like, we're going to stick to the plan, and it may not be the most popular plan, but it's the plan that I think is best for the team.
All right.
That's
He's
good.
Owning it. He's owning it. He's saying, this is my plan. We've had this plan all along. He didn't acknowledge the fact that he had all these other things that he said that could be construed as not exactly going to the plan that he has laid out and stuck to all this time in terms of, you know, what the competition was going to be like, who actually won the competition, that sort of thing, acting as though they didn't know who it was going to be until the very last week and the very last minute. Like you just said, it seems like this was sort of the preordained thing all along. And, yeah, he's owning it, and he's not giving us a bunch of double talk, at least not this morning he wasn't.
No, and if, again, if this had happened all along, I think it would have changed the sort of tenor of the offseason and the buildup to the season. And quite honestly, it might have made people a bit more supportive or receptive of Jacoby Brissett. And in, because you were teased, right? It's one thing, Drake May, remember when he said he wasn't disappointed because, well, Jacoby got all the first team reps.
Right.
It was almost like, I knew I was never going to get, how am I going to win the starting job if they're not going to give me any number one reps? Like, he had kind of resigned himself.
Right.
I don't think fans completely resigned themselves to, we're getting Jacoby Brissett. They allowed themselves to get excited and to be teased, whether it be on the practice field or preseason week two, preseason week three, he's making plays, or at least he's making good throws that could have been plays if anybody had helped him out on the damn field. So I think fans got teased. If Jerod had been a little bit more definitive along the way, that may have changed the way the fan base viewed the whole quarterback competition. But the reality is, we're here. It's Tuesday. We're talking to Jacoby Brissett, and Jacoby Brissett is going to start against Joe Burrow in the battle of the JBs.
Yep.
The plan that I think is best for the team.
We'll see. We'll see how good of a plan it is. We'll see how well it works. And we'll see how interested this fan base really is. Because, you know, I'll be honest with you, I'm not really feeling the buzz.
No.
I'm not feeling that buzz. I'm not feeling that new year NFL season about to start. And I know. I mean, we're coming off a four-win season. It's not like they were coming off a Super Bowl appearance or even a playoff appearance. It's been a while since Patriots fans have seen one of those. But this was supposed to be the start of a rebuild. This was supposed to be the beginning of a new offense, a new regime with a new head coach and, you know, new quarterback and all this stuff. And instead, I get the sense that Patriots fans are really, really kind of cool on this team right now. Not really dying to get in there, not really dying to go to the pro shop, you know, not really having all that much excitement for a new NFL season, which even in the years after Brady left, you had that. You still had that buzz.
You're
for
telling
Cam
me
Newton.
Fans aren't hyped for the C's on the captain's shirts now?
I guess not. You know, I thought that would be. I thought that was really going to get those people into that pro shop, but I guess not.
Well,
but, you know,
to be fair, it's Mac a way Jones to buy years, a jersey.
It is
because now, if they sell a jersey that has a C on it, because those would be a one of a kind, first time ever. Get those. I actually feel a little guilty that I might be at least
my
partially.
New Joe Cardona jersey.
You gonna get one?
Mm-hmm.
You've always liked a long.
Why
snapper.
Not? Oh yeah.
I feel a little guilty or partially responsible for the lack of buzz, quite honestly, because in May I did bring up the possibility of going 0-17.
You did.
And I feel like I tainted the water. And I realized that when people started to agree somewhere along the line in the preseason, and I got a lot of tweets, you're right, I think zero wins is in play, this offensive line stinks, or the offensive line is high school caliber. And because most teams have hope right now. Like, I'm not in Carolina. But is there hope down there? Is there hope that Bryce Young can have a bounce back second season? You know, he got votes in that poll we had talked about for
yep.
the most underrated quarterback in the NFL. I'm guessing there's at least some hope for the guy whose name I'm blanking on that's their head coach now. Who?
Canales.
Canales.
Yes.
Who I had really not heard much about prior to him becoming their head coach. But I bet you they have a little more hope than there is here. And there's a fine line between being realistic and pessimistic. I think I probably fall a little pessimistic at times. Is the fan base pessimistic right now or just realistic? Are they accepting of this two-year build, rebuild? Because Jerod did it again today where he talked about wins.
Mm-hmm.
Every time he talks about wins, he always says this year or next. So even Jerod has acknowledged that wins may not come very fruitfully this season.
Yeah, Robert Kraft basically said that. You know, he talked about, I don't know about wins this year, but this is going to be one of those seasons we build off of, and it's going to be the start of something special and blah, 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 blah. I mean, no one's really expecting much. It's a very low bar, which in some ways you look at and think, well, if the bar's really low, sometimes it's easier to jump over it. You know, I mean, it's as simple as that. And there is the faint possibility that Jacoby Brissett could be the next Geno Smith, you know, someone that kind of got written off and finally got an opportunity in the right place and the right coaching staff and the right team and was able to go out there and be effective. I mean, that's not... That's not completely unfathomable. It's happened before. It's happened in the history of the NFL before. It happened very recently. I mean, Smith was someone that everybody just considered to be either a backup or out of the league. He gets a starting job over in Seattle, and he was a Pro Bowler. So, you know, I mean, there's examples of things like that happening. I don't think a lot of people are expecting that for Jacoby Brissett. But, you know, if you're a fan of this team, how long is the leash before you decide, you know what, I'm not, this season's not for me? Because I'll tell you what the predictions are out and saying. They're not great. We have a 2024 NFL season simulation from ESPN and the analytics department, which came out today. And there were some surprising things on there, like the Bills missing the playoffs. The Vikings are the worst team in the league somehow, worse than you, the Patriots. But not by much. The Patriots finishing with a 5-12 record, according to the ESPN stats department. The Vikings 4-13, so you're not getting the first overall pick next year, according to this thing. But, yeah, it's playoff teams. We have the Jets and the Dolphins, Bengals and Ravens, the Jaguars, Texans, and the Chiefs are the only ones coming out of the West. Patriots, though, to not really much of anyone's surprise, I haven't seen really anything, and I've looked at a bunch of preseason stuff. I haven't seen anything that's picking them to be higher than fourth in the AFC.
I love analytics.
Well, the only thing that I saw that was a hint of positive was Cold Hard Football Facts, I believe, somewhere in mid-August.
Kerry Byrne. My guy.
Had 7 or 8 wins, and that was about as optimistic as I've seen around this football team.
Was that like a best case scenario situation, or is what he actually?
No, that was like
running
the numbers, weighing things, the defense.
Interesting.
Now he did say the more they play Drake May, he believed the more they lose. Their numbers or whatever, that playing rookie quarterbacks equates to losing. That it's sort of a simple formula. But I think they were the most optimistic about this team. So do we have to ask the question? Is there more buzz about the BC Eagles than the New England Patriots in the first week of September?
There is right now.
I mean, there has to be, right?
There certainly
Billy
is right
O
now.
Jumped ship at the right time.
I mean, I still saw there was still kids passed out in the streets on my way over here, just coming
were
up,
there really?
Coming up in the thing. No, but I mean, people were partying out there. I mean, it was a party up on Chestnut Hill, spilling all the way down into Alston, Brighton, and all around Cleveland Circle and everywhere else. It was a nice one there for your BC Eagles last night. We will get to the Boston College Eagles and the big weekend that they had in that game last night, as they were able to overcome the heat. Some scoreboard malfunctions and a Florida State team that is just, my God. I mean, I remember they lost a lot of players in the draft this past year. 10 of their guys got drafted. A couple more graduated and just aren't in football anymore. That is a team that is a shell of its former self, but that is not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about your Boston College Eagles, their big running attack, and how they may have to fill the void here for your Boston sports needs. As the Red Sox continue to spiral, the Patriots are just not a lot of buzz for them at all, but up on Chestnut Hill, the Eagles are soaring high. So we'll get to all of that also. As I said, it's Patriots Monday on a Tuesday. Jacoby Brissett will join the show at 3 o'clock, and Jonathan Jones will be joining us at 4 o'clock. Real quick, just a quick Red Sox thought before we throw to break here and before we get to all the BC stuff I want to talk about. There was a time, and it was not long ago, I think it was yesterday even, or maybe last Friday, where I was saying once they bench Rafael Devers,
yeah,
right, that's going to be the big white flag in the season. I no longer think that. I think benching Rafael Devers is a prudent baseball move at this point. I don't think you can keep putting him out there. It's killing this team.
Yeah, I mean, and especially, I always fall back on, you know, the Belichickian, we're not doctors, so I don't really know what the hell's going on with his shoulders with an S, which I also always find interesting, like both of his shoulders. Like,
I know.
The guy
hits. Which one do you think hurts worse?
I have no idea. Like, I know he uses both of them. They feel like they're both key to the swing.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a guy that missed time as recently as what? Five days ago was missing time. So clearly it's a big enough issue to miss time. At this point in the season, diminishing returns and damage, increased damage done, or as you said, even if it's just, you know, something needs to get scoped, quote unquote, cleaned out, start the process. Because I feel like baseball is very, there's a lot of examples in baseball history where it seems like guys wait till like January or February, and then you find out, oh, now he's going to miss the beginning of the season.
Right.
What are we doing here? Like, do it in September. The season is over. You know, they're not making up any ground. They're losing ground, essentially, losing games. They can't score any runs with him in the lineup, so
he's killing them. I mean, that was another one last night.
So if you're going to score one run with him in the lineup, I can probably score one run without him in the lineup, right?
Yeah.
It seemed logical. They're not winning with their offense like some people had hoped they would at this point in the season. So, Yeah, it has to be a very serious consideration at this point.
Agreed. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. We got room for you on our phone lines right now. Patriots on the table. The Boston College Eagles on the table. How often? You're a BC fan out there. You don't get a lot of chances to call in. It's not often the topic of discussion. You got something you want to say about the Eagles, and that includes you, John Meter Perel, if you're listening. You can call in right now. We got room for you. And, of course, the Red Sox and their death spiral, which we're monitoring very closely here as we move into the month of September. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Here's Joe Braverman to tell you what's trending.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trend Now is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. The Red Sox fell in their series opener last night to the Mets 4-1. Your final score was the Sox' fourth loss in the last five games. They currently still sit 4.5 games out of a playoff spot. They'll look to rebound in game two of this three-game series tonight. You can hear Will Fleming and Lou Maloney on the call from Citi Field at 7:10 on the Shaw's at Star Market. WEEI Red Sox Radio Network, Shaw's, perfecting the art of fresh. Cutter Crawford will get the start for the Sox opposite David Peterson for the Mets. Cooper Boardman will get everything started with the Mass Mutual pregame show at 6:10. Mass Mutual Insurance, Planning, Investments. Players got the day off today at Patriots practice as they gear up for their season opener this Sunday against the Bengals. Couple of notes from yesterday. O-lineman Vidarian Lowe and Sidy Sow remain out. Staying in football in New England, Boston College pulled off the upset over 10th-ranked Florida State 28-13 in Bill O'Brien's first game as head coach. BC rushed for 269 yards as a team and held the Seminoles to 3-for-14 on third down. The Eagles will play in their home opener at Alumni Stadium this Saturday against Duquesne at 3:30. Some other football news. Trent Williams is ending his holdout as he and the 49ers are finalizing a new deal that will see the left tackle play in San Fran's season opener this Monday night against the Jets. And the Bruins had captain's practice today. Jeremy Swayman was among those who participated. Swayman is in the middle of negotiations for a contract extension. Training camp for the Bees opens on September 8th. And just another NHL note, the Oilers and forward Leon Draisaitl have agreed to an 8-year, $112 million extension. The $14 million average annual value makes him the highest paid player in league history. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Joe Braverman, and that's what's trending on WEEI and WEEI.com.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
For draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
So Meter Perel's still doing the take a bow thing, definitely, huh? That's still a thing for sure.
Yeah, these guys had never heard it. All our young producers were like...
They were playing it for me, and they were like, oh, that's his new catchphrase. I was like, that is not a new catchphrase.
Been doing that forever. You just haven't noticed.
Take a bow, Matty Heisman.
Yeah, how many times have they actually scored in important times where
since
he's
Matt
had
Ryan
it?
Was here? Not many, I don't think.
Wow.
Perfect. Not many bows have been taken, unfortunately. But there were a lot of them getting taken last night as the BC Eagles soar past the Florida State Seminoles in a game that was not really even all that close. I mean, that was a game that they handled. They dominated most of the game. Florida State and that new coach, Norvell over there, I mean, he's on the hot seat already. The season for them is basically over.
He's not new.
Oh, no, you're right. He's not new. That's true. But, yeah, but the season for them...
I believe he got a $100 million extension in the offseason.
Right. That's what it is. Yes, he just got his new extension. He's not a new coach. He got a new extension. But, yes.
Imagine that. You got a $100 million extension. You go 0-2, and, like, people want to just get rid of you immediately.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the ink is dry, right? That thing's signed, sealed, delivered.
Unfortunately so for the Florida State Athletic Department. Yes, that is the case. A 28-13 win, I believe, was the final score there as the Eagles start the season 1-0 in the Billy O'Brien era. Now, I'll say this. It was a very run-heavy attack. I mean, that offense was very deliberate. That offensive line was out there mauling, making big holes there out of that Florida State D-line. And with Castellanos and his running ability, it just seemed like BC was in total control of that game offensively, and Florida State was completely overwhelmed. Now, obviously, this is a big deal. It's the first game of the Billy O'Brien era, and couldn't have gone possibly much better. But just speaking as someone who was an alumnus of a school that last year had a very impressive out-of-nowhere win to start the year. I'm talking, of course, about my Colorado Buffaloes, who beat Texas Christian in week one. Doesn't always stay that way. You got to keep on winning. You got to keep it up. And BC does have some other tough games on the schedule here, but I don't think it could have started really any better than it did.
No, and they played BC football for who they are right now. Like, Castellanos, like, don't make him throw the ball 25 times and throw interceptions, and because he's not a great passer. He's a very good runner. He can be a good enough passer. And when you have an offensive line that can, that was the stunner. Is you hear everybody talk about Florida State. They're supposed to have all these good defensive linemen, front seven. Oh, it's this. Well, they've got pushed around two straight weeks. They look like they're not very good. And BC took full advantage with 200 and whatever, 60 yards rushing, controlled the game. And DJ Ula, whatever, stinks. He is, I mean, that guy, you know, the Andrew Brandt on Twitter likes to say business of sport. These people that make a lot of money by kind of pulling the wool over the sports world. DJ has pulled the wool over the football world. He goes to Clemson, starts. He goes to Oregon State, starts. He goes to Florida State, a team that was a like playoff contender type team a year ago. And all these teams say, that's the guy we want in this quarterback-driven world to be. He is not very good. He was a – I don't want to diminish the BC win, but DJ stinks because I was a little offended. I read something. Is this a humiliating loss for Florida State?
Yes.
It feels strong to me.
To get dominated at home like that, I'd say
it's
pretty
a conference game.
It is.
I don't know. It's just
a conference game against BC. I mean, you know.
No, I know. And that's what calling it humiliating from a Florida State perspective tells you just how low Boston College is thought of.
Absolutely.
Like the where you are. And I don't know where this goes. You're right. If they're like 1-4, you know, 4 weeks from now, all the momentum, the positivity dissipates. And that's why Billy O was doing his class. I was reading some of the quotes about, you know, the 24-hour rule. And then we're on to, I'm going to hope they beat Duquesne. And then I think they have Missouri
after that. I think they're going to start 2-0. Yeah, Missouri after that, I don't know. But
then Michigan State.
I hope they can beat the Dukes. I think that because Duquesne got smoked in week one against Toledo. So I think that's that should be an easy win number two, but you never know.
Otherwise, that would be
anything easy for this team.
That would be a flip of the humiliation shoe, because if you lose to Duquesne, that will be a humiliating loss for Billy O'Brien's
team. You know, it's not rocket science. You know, we're not splitting atoms.
Indeed.
I love Billy O. Are you a Billy O guy?
Yes, although I didn't think I was dubious about him joining the team last year, and I thought it was a miserable failure.
It was a miserable failure with him
on the offense this past year. And I wasn't really super keen on it to begin with, just because, I don't know, when I think of Bill O'Brien, I don't necessarily think of, like, innovative new offensive 2024 NFL, so maybe that makes sense for him to be in college and sort of doing that with BC, with sort of a simpler running offense. But, you know, I like him. I think he's a good guy, and I enjoy his candor, and I liked him that 1 year when he was the Texans coach on Hard Knocks. I thought he was really good on that, too. So,
well, he's a local guy.
I'm a fan of his, yeah.
Local guy, made good, went to Brown from, what, North Andover? And I said it yesterday when I was hyping up Boston College, which, Andy, right again, Boston College is ready to steal some of the limelight or the buzz or the focus from the Patriots and the Red Sox in this little weird new sports year that you're acknowledging starts in September. He's the perfect guy for BC. He has as good a resume as BC is ever going to get.
That's
right.
True.
Like, you're never going to get a coach with a better resume or a level of experience.
Steve Adazio was their most, you know, their hot shot coach for
Bill
a while.
Bill O'Brien was the head coach at Penn State. He was the offensive coordinator of your New England Patriots multiple times. He was a head coach in the NFL. Like, he has a legit resume. And the best thing yet is, I think he wants to be here for a long time. And I know they were talking in the broadcast last night about, you know, is he going to get what he asks for? You know, I need better facilities. I need a better weight room. I need to bring Boston College up to sort of modern competitive standards so that this isn't a one-off shocking win. Although, knock, knock, knocking, second team outside the top 25, others receiving votes, right?
Yeah.
You know what's next?
Them in Texas A&M, right?
Once you get in the top 25, then you get in the top half of the top 25, you know what they call you then?
A playoff team.
Playoff team. Talking about playoffs.
I think we're getting a little ahead of ourselves there with all that, but you never know.
This is what you're supposed to do.
This is what you do.
Wait a minute. If I'm going to feel bad for having no hope going into
playoffs?
The Patriots season,
thank you.
Shouldn't I have hope coming off of BC's big win?
Absolutely.
You're one of those typical Boston sports media guys. You're telling me to never have hope.
No, I'm a Colorado fan, and I saw that team get off to a good start last year,
yeah, well,
and
you know
went
what?
Right down the crapper right after that.
I'm going to do the we thing. We have a real football coach. You have P.T. Barnum. You have a snake oil salesman. We have a real experienced, honest-to-goodness, program-building, athlete-creating football coach.
Man, I got a gold jacket that I didn't buy.
You are a great player. I'm not taking anything away from you as a player, Dion.
Pretty good recruiter, Dion.
Yeah,
maybe a little better than Bill O'Brien.
Ooh, he landed Shedeur Sanders. I wonder how he did that.
Landed Travis Hunter.
Yeah, he paid.
Sure, fine.
It's
they all pay now. That's what they all do.
I bet you BC isn't paying. How much are they paying?
Not as much, I'd say, as Colorado and Deion Sanders, but that's the point, is that people want to play for him. Kids want to play for him.
And they want to play for Bill O'Brien.
We'll see.
In Bill We Trust. You ever hear of it?
Good amount of transfers.
It's now Bill O'Brien that's about.
We'll see.
The other guy's unemployed right now.
Ain't no Bobby Brown in the bunch.
It's an exciting time over there on Chestnut Hill. No question about that. 617-779-7937 is the phone number. Listen, the Celtics season doesn't start for a month and 19 days. October 22nd is the first game of the NBA season for your Boston Celtics, their first regular season game. The preseason starts before that. The Bruins preseason starts in about 19 days.
But they're having captain's practice.
Having captain's practice, which, by the way, Jeremy Swayman was present at. Don't know if that means anything, but he was there for captain's practice, so maybe they're making some progress. Maybe they aren't. If I'm the Bruins, maybe you want to get something done here before the preseason starts, but whatever. That's going to be, I think they start in the beginning of October. They're like October 6th or 7th, something like that is their first game. So we have at least a full month here where the Boston College Eagles can take control. They can grab the spotlight away from the Red Sox and away from the Patriots, and they can hold it as long as they want until the Celtics start playing. And really, I mean, the first couple weeks of the Celtics season is going to be exciting. Wow, basketball's back. But you know how the regular season is with the NBA and the NHL. Yeah. There's lots of periods where you're just sort of like, okay, you know, wake me up when we get closer to the playoffs or the All-Star break or anything like that, and these games start really mattering more, especially with the Celtics being so dominant lately. So there's a real opportunity here. There is a real opportunity for college football to matter again in the Commonwealth of Massachusetts.
So, they beat Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
Who was that guy, that politician a few years ago when he was doing the trailer? He was like, and we're going to Iowa, and then we're going to Des Moines,
and
we're going to win in New Hampshire.
Yeah, what the hell was that guy's name?
Yeah!
Yeah,
that's Billy O right now.
Yeah,
we're going to FSU, we're going to win there. We're going to come home, we're going to beat Duquesne. We're going to beat Missouri, we're going to beat Michigan State. Western Kentucky, I guess. Is that WKU? Western Kentucky!
What was that guy's name? Oh, I can't believe I can't think of it. What was his name? It was Dave Chappelle did all. Dean.
Howard Dean.
Howard Dean.
Yeah,
Howard Dean. Howard Dean.
Ooh, the text line beat you. They're better than you.
Damn it.
That's a great job by the 508.
There,
that was a quick response, but why not?
We're going to beat the Dukes, and we're going to beat Missouri, and then we're going to be in the NCAA playoffs.
Why not? Got a better chance than FSU. They're 0-2.
They certainly do have a better chance than
BC
than
lose
Florida
two
State.
Games before they're tied in the loss column with the Seminoles.
That's true.
Fact.
That is a mathematical fact. No getting around it. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We got more to get to here as far as the Patriots are concerned. Jacoby Brissett's going to join the show at 3 o'clock. Looking forward to talking with him, a newly minted official starting quarterback for your New England Patriots. But when we come back, Bill Belichick has yet another media venture.
Jesus.
And you'd never guess who his co-host is. We'll get to all that next. Good song. That was Bill Belichick's new podcast with Underdog Fantasy Sports. He's breaking down the Jets offense. And if you recognize that other voice, his co-host is his right-hand man. Not just on the sidelines, not just when he's a head football coach, but also when he's running the podcast. That was the voice of the greatest offensive coordinator the New England Patriots have ever known, Mr. Matt Patricia. Initial thoughts on the Belichick Patricia NFL podcast over at Underdog Sports.
So the cut in the video stunned me. Like you
when
have
they cut
Bill
to Patricia,
yeah, like. I felt like I was watching wrestling, like surprise tag team partner, like
right.
Some cameo in a movie where you were stunned with who they got to do it. Whatever.
My God, that's Matt Patricia.
Basically, like he doesn't look comfortable in the video. He kind of repeats what Bill says mm-hmm. in a way.
That's what most co-hosts on the podcast do. I mean, that's sort of, you know.
It was very strange. Very, very strange to me. I guess not overly surprising. I mean, if Bill's going to hire him to be an offensive coordinator, then he's going to hire him to do anything.
Yeah.
Like, he clearly, that's his boy.
He's
going to take care of his boy. He had probably some say in this. So am I to assume or presume this is going to be every week? Like, he's going to be the co-host of Bill Belichick's podcast, Breaking Down Football, every week for...
He's not with the team now, is he?
Oh, no, he's not.
Yeah, yeah. So why?
Yeah, great observations.
Thank you,
Bill. Nice job. I would say that. Here's my thing.
Do you have any interest in any of this?
In that podcast? Not really. I mean,
I don't have any interest in watching these things from Bill. I don't know why. I feel like am I just being a contrarian because everybody's excited to see Bill? Or, like, it's great. He thinks... the one thing I found interesting, and maybe I fixate on words more than others do,
mm-hmm.
he said about the offense, good running back, good quarterback, great wide receiver. And I'm like, wait, Aaron Rodgers is a, quote, good quarterback, and
right.
Garrett Wilson is a great wide receiver?
Interesting.
That stuck out
to
me.
He loves Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought he loved Aaron Rodgers. And the other thing is, all I could think of is these two are greasing the skids to slide right into the coaching chairs in New York midway through the season. And I'm going to do that for every one of these. When he breaks down the Cowboys, I'm going to say they're greasing the skids to land in Dallas. When he breaks down the Bills, I'm going to say he's greasing the skids to land in Buffalo. I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah.
They love the attention. They are also like that chick that we compared the Red Sox to. Bill likes the attention.
Oh, a hypothetical chick. Yes, of course.
Bill likes the attention. He's a tease.
Mm.
And then he might just stay doing this media forever.
He's kind of into it.
People tell him he's not good at it, maybe.
If I'm Matt Patricia, I may take a break from the Bill Belichick thing. You know, like, I know
Absolutely.
That's obviously his guy, but
Bill Belichick
did not do him any favors in his second stint here. When he made him the offensive coordinator, he basically signed Matt Patricia's death warrant, I feel like, in the NFL. Like, he was already on thin ice after his tenure in Detroit. It was such a bad thing there. But rather than bring him back and, I don't know, put him in a position where he's had success before, where he was a Super Bowl caliber winning defensive coordinator, he has him as, like, a special weird assistant, and then he has him as an offensive coordinator. And I don't know. I mean, listen. There was obviously other people in place, like his kid, that he wanted to run the defense, and Gerard Mayo as well, and, you know, other people that he had sort of on that side of the ball. But he brought Patricia in, and rather than putting him in a position to succeed, made him a laughingstock. I mean, that whole thing with the offensive coordinator, that's never going to go away.
And then scapegoated him.
Then
ran him out of town.
Absolutely.
Then moved on from him. And maybe Bill lost power in the last year. And maybe that was all Robert saying, no. We're bringing in Billy O'Brien,
mm-hmm.
and we're getting rid of your boy Patricia, which I'm not sure of, because I had always heard that the Crafts liked Patricia and had a lot of confidence
too.
In his intelligence and the things. So I think if Bill had said, no, I'm putting my foot down, Matt Patricia stays, not as offensive coordinator, just stays.
Mm-hmm.
He could be special assistant to the HC or whatever you want to call him.
The Eagles hired him as a senior defensive assistant.
Sure.
He wasn't the coordinator.
So
I
do
mean,
that
like, you could have done that.
Right.
Yeah, sure.
And he can just help out on that side of the ball. So he kind of got scapegoated, and I agree with you. I've always said the only bad thing that Matt Patricia did was say yes to this terrible idea that Bill Belichick had.
Absolutely.
I think I got probably one of the biggest plays in the fourth quarter in the history of the NFL, where
he probably
did a pretty good job.
Probably shouldn't have said that either.
No.
Because, you know, mouth.
And did you think he looked – there was all these – I hate the aggregators that do the overdramatic clickbait headlines,
mm-hmm.
and it was – Matt Patricia, this guy's unrecognizable in his new role with Bell or something.
I recognized him immediately.
You're like, yeah. It's Matt Patricia. He's lost some weight. He
sure.
lost the beard. He looks pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, obviously, he's in a less stressful environment, right? Now he's just doing a podcast once a week with Bill Belichick. So,
yeah
he doesn't, but he looks exactly like he always looked. He's Matt Patricia.
Yeah. He should bring in some of his other, he should bring in Mangini. You know, he should bring
in. I don't think he's bringing Mangini.
McDaniels. You know, all the guys who are just sort of kicking around, you know, looking for something to do. I just saw McDaniels on, I think, Julian Edelman's podcast this past week. So he's doing the podcast circuit. There should be all the other fellas, you know, from the Belichick coaching tree who kind of flamed out, which is basically all of them, and bring them on to talk about
it's
whatever
not
it is he wants to talk
a terrible idea by you.
Yeah.
That bring them all in, and you know how I think this is the podcast that was sold as, like, he's going to bring you inside the head coach's mind kind of thing.
Right.
Well, do that with everybody. Bring me inside the defensive coordinator's mind, the offensive coordinator's mind, the offensive line. They're all unemployed right now, basically.
Right.
Bring them all in and utilize all of them and make like a Netflix documentary podcast series thing out of it.
Could find a better title than Coach with that idea.
Coach. Well, that was already taken. It was a very funny show. I enjoyed it. With Dauber.
I enjoyed that show, too.
What I'm talking about.
A little bit. The podcast, which is from the same people who brought you the WEEI afternoon show. Let's go to the phones here. 617-779-7937. Coach, speaking of coaches, Coach is in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Coach.
Hey, guys. Great show, as always.
Thank you.
Bill Belichick actually sounded like he knew offense. He was interested in offense. He recognized a great runner and wide receiver. I'm just wondering why the last 5-8 years he could care less about offense in New England, which, by the way, we can say what we want. That is the number one reason why he only got one interview, okay? In my opinion, they've been that bad on offense. Secondly, was that the tomahawk chop last night or the tomahawk choke? Billy O'Brien, take it to those Seminoles, actually made their coach in the press conference cry, so he's not long for his job. And lastly, I think Thomas Castellanos is very athletic, very good, not Kyler Murray, but not that far off. Great show, guys.
All right, thanks, Coach. And, Castellanos, I mean, listen, that was an exciting game. He's an exciting player. 13 or 14 touchdowns last year on the ground. He had another one in that game, threw for two. You might have something there. I mean, you really might have something there at quarterback. It's been a while since BC's had a really good quarterback. But, you know, whenever it happens, it's a nice little thing. Certainly around these parts with the way the other sports teams are going at this present moment. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. Real quick, just the other thing Coach said there that sort of spot. He was interested in offense, but he was always interested in offense as like a vehicle to game plan against, you know?
Right.
He'd give big platitudes to the other team's wide receivers and their offensive line and, you know, that running back's really good and they're punting all that stuff as a way to like, you know, and here's how I'm going to game plan against them. Not like, I want to run an offense that looks like that. It was always like, this is how I'm going to attack that offense. The offense is always something that he just reacts to. Not something that he's proactive with.
It's a challenge to him. It always stood out to me the way he talked about Randy Moss and the way Randy Moss taught him. And it wasn't in the sense that Randy Moss is teaching me things that I can teach other receivers. It was Randy Moss is teaching me the way a receiver looks at things so I can look at it that way from a defensive perspective. He's a defensive guy.
Mm-hmm.
He just is. I'm not saying he's totally inept, and yes, he helped create Tom Brady, and he coached him, and all whatever. We can leave that alone. But I do think he looks at offense from a challenge perspective. How do I stop it? How would I go about game planning against it? But he did talk up that Jets offense pretty good in that clip.
Yeah, he certainly
pretty
did.
Pretty good.
And I think he's right. I think that offense is going to be pretty good this year. 617-779-7937. There's your phone number. We got room for you on the phone lines, and we have room for Jacoby Brissett, who joins us next.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.